It's Brian Noonan for Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. Yellowstone National Park is the oldest national park in America, founded in 1872. It's 2.2 million acres of some untouched wilderness, the home for unbelievable scenery, wildlife, everything else. This week on the National Geographic Channel, there is a four-part series, Yellowstone Live. It is, if you haven't had a chance to see it, check it out. It is unbelievable. There are 34 live cameras set up throughout the park. There's people all over. It's just wonderful. And one of the men who has helped documenting all of this and who is flying around in a helicopter is the Emmy Award-winning TV cameraman, David Alan Arnold. He joins me now on WGN. David, thanks for staying up late. I appreciate it. Welcome.
Brian, God bless you. Thanks for having me on.
This is an unbelievable story. So we're going to get into all the deal with Yosemite Live, which is just a fantastic program. But I got to ask how you got involved. How did this become your job? How did you become a helicopter cameraman?
So I started in television in a very unusual way. I began sweeping the floor 23 years ago.
Okay.
That was my first job. And I found out later in life that I had been actually hired because of my attitude. The bosses at the company thought, well, this kid doesn't know anything, but he shows up on time and he works hard.
Okay.
So let's give him a chance. And so my first job was sweeping the floor. And that was how I learned that if you do a good job sweeping the floor, they will let you do just about anything.
So wait. How do you go? All right,
yeah.
Sweeping the floor, they'll let you do anything. I get that. But hey, did you have flying experience before? Because a lot of people go, well, I started out sweeping the floor in the mailroom, and then I moved up to something else. Rarely do you hear, I was sweeping the floor, now I'm flying a chopper around.
Yeah, that's a great point. No, I had no experience. And they told me when they hired me, they said, you know, we could hire someone from Hollywood or New York, but you seem hungry. Are you hungry? and I was hungry.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I brought, you know, because I have a very high-tech occupation. The camera systems that I work with are gyro-stabilized. They're very sophisticated, complicated. They're difficult to learn how to use in certain ways. They're complex machines. But I came with no technical skills. The only thing that I brought with me into my, you know, the start of my career was hard work without complaint. And that was enough for them, because I think they had been, you know, working for years with different guys. And I think they, unbeknownst to me, they were looking for somebody, who just had a good attitude.
Okay.
And who could learn everything else. And that's, you know, I like to think that's what I've done over the past 23 years.
Well, it seems incredible to come in with no flight training and no technical skills for the camera. And then, as you say, over a 23-year career, not only are you an Emmy winner, you've worked on tons of movies and television shows and commercials, and now you're involved in this. Was it a long process for you to get to that point?
It was maddening. I knew so little about what I had to, the equipment that I had to work with in this line of work. It was just mind-boggling. I knew nothing about aircraft. I knew nothing about, gyro-stabilized, computerized camera systems, which we had to repair a lot of times. You had to get a soldering iron out and get into the circuit boards and solder wires together just to make the camera to work so we could go out and shoot something like this. And it was a daunting challenge, because I didn't have a background in it. I didn't have a college degree. And I really had to work very, very hard to learn how to use the equipment, how to repair it when it breaks, and how to just get through each show, without having an equipment failure in the middle of, you know, like Yellowstone Live. You want the camera to work.
Definitely.
For the entire live show, because it's a live show. If the camera craps out, you know, it's on live television. Everyone will see that.
Now, what was it? Do you remember the first job you had when they finally said, okay, David, your training seems good. You seem to know what you're doing. We're going to send you up. This is the first job. What was it?
I do remember the first show that I ever flew for in a helicopter was ABC News, and the ValueJet airline crash had just happened in South Florida.
Right.
And so I was hired to go build our gyro-stabilized camera on the helicopter and go fly over the Everglades and film the crash site.
Oh, man.
For news.
Now, when you're in that in the helicopter, is the camera run with remote control? Are you actually, you know, if it's gyro stabilized, it must be in some housing underneath. Is that what's the physical makeup of the setup?
You're exactly right. We have a gyro stabilized platform that sits outside the aircraft. It is a pod that is kind of a round spherical machine that inside has gyros and a set of motors. The computer senses every movement of the helicopter, which is, you know, moving in all three axes or all three directions.
Yeah.
It's rolling, it's tilting up and down, it's twisting, and the gyros sense that, and they move the platform inside in equal and opposite direction.
Okay.
And it causes the camera to sit perfectly still while the helicopter is moving violently around it. And that's how we hold a steady shot. And I never touch the camera. The camera is outside. I have a laptop controller, which kind of, in a way, it looks like a video game.
Okay.
And that sits on my lap. And when I want to tilt down, I don't grab the camera and tilt down. I push on a joystick, and the motors move the camera to tilt it down. But because I never touch it, therefore I'm not introducing any shake into that picture.
It's amazing. All right, let's talk a little bit about Yellowstone Live, because it is, I watched episodes 2 and 3. I still have to watch the first episode, and then tomorrow is the final episode. It's amazing. One, the advent of high definition had to change your job. As a viewer, it's changed everything. I think had this show been on in standard def, it might not have been quite as visually exciting as it is right now. But is there a challenge for you when you and the pilot are going out into some of these really remote areas? Is it a different challenge than trying to fly over, like you said, the Everglades, which is, you know, remote, but you're still a little closer to civilization?
Oh, absolutely. It is to go into a vast wilderness where there are no roads, there are no police. There's no ambulances that can come and pick you up if you have a problem. There's just a bunch of bears and wolves that will eat you if you stop moving. And that's a little intimidating. So today we were flying on top of a mountain in Yellowstone, mm-hmm. and it was a beautiful scene. There was a herd of about 50 elk.
Yes.
And they're laying in the grass, and a short distance away was a grizzly bear. And he was, you know, stomping through the grass and swinging his head violently from side to side. He was looking for something to eat. And you look at that, and I'm sitting in this helicopter, and I have to think for just a minute. Well, I hope nothing bad happens to our helicopter, because I would not want to land next to that bear.
No, and after watching the second episode, where the bears don't like to share their food, so you and the pilot, they're not going to be very pleasant at all if you run into them. The shot of the elk was amazing, because you know you're shooting as you said this herd of elk, and I forget the woman, the correspondent who was talking about them, was able to identify, oh, these are female elk, and you can tell because they don't have the antlers, and it's. Every aspect of this show is phenomenal. Besides that, what's been up to this point the most breathtaking? And you've seen a lot of stuff, but the most breathtaking thing in Yellowstone that you've filmed?
The most breathtaking, I would say, are the herds of bison. They are spectacular to look at. They look like something out of a science fiction movie.
Yeah.
And they really do look, to me, prehistoric. I mean, these are beasts, and some of them weigh more than your car.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you're also getting to see them in the pre-rutting. So they're rolling around, making all these big, the males are creating
right.
all this dust, and then they're chasing the females. It's hilarious.
It really is. When we fly over them, I just kind of stare at them in amazement. They're so massive, and they are. I mean, just imagine an animal the same size and weight of your car. That would, if he saw you, he may just walk over and stomp you to death. And like almost automatically, you know, and so just to be in the presence of such a powerful creature who may or may not kill you, depending on the mood he's in, it's kind of like running into bulls, honestly. It's just to see beasts that are so big and so angry and it's stunning, you know, and they're considered the most dangerous animals in the park.
Really? More so than the bears? Really? That surprises me a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's because of their behavior and it's because of their size and weight. So because they weigh so much and because they're so strong, they don't have to do much to hurt you. they're just powerful and you know, would like to come and visit Yellowstone Park and see the beautiful sights and the animals. But it's a little humbling to be around such massive beasts. That could so easily kill you if they looked at you the wrong way.
Yeah, it's amazing to watch. David Allen Arnold is the helicopter cameraman. He's the flying cameraman. He's covering this for Yellowstone Live, which is airing this week on the National Geographic Channel. If you haven't had a chance to watch it, the final episode's tomorrow, then you can watch the other episodes on demand. We'll talk to David a little more about not only about the Yellowstone Live project, but a very interesting part of your life that, as I was reading about you, I don't know how this came about, so I'm looking forward to hearing about it. DavidAllenArnold.com is the website to get all the information on David, his books, and all the amazing things he's done. We'll talk to David more in just a minute here on WGN. Brian Noonan in for Nick. My guest, David Allen Arnold. He's been a helicopter cameraman for 23 years. He's currently working on Yellowstone Live, which is airing this week on the National Geographic Channel. He's worked on Super Bowls. He's worked on tons of movies and television shows. A fascinating story. He's the author of a book, Help From Above, How I Went From Sweeping the Floor to Painting the Sky. There's a lot... You've got a lot of chapters in your life, David, that I want to try to touch on a lot of them. But let's talk a little bit more about Yellowstone Live. How logistically, with a park as big as Yellowstone, which I mentioned was 2.2 million acres, how many airborne cameras do they have? Because I read, and correct me if I'm wrong, Yellowstone doesn't allow drones to fly over the park. Is that correct?
That I'm not sure of, but it wouldn't surprise me. There are a lot of places that don't allow drones to overfly, especially in a place like Yellowstone, where they're going to have a lot of visitors and tourists.
Right.
And I can understand how the rangers might feel about people, you know, pulling out cameras and then flying them over the crowd or potentially into the geysers, you know.
So, how many airborne cameramen or camera people, I guess, are working on Yellowstone Live?
I'm it. That's,
you're that's, it.
We have one helicopter with our gyro stabilized Cineflex camera on the front, and we have a second aircraft which picks up our pictures. So we fly all the way around the park and look at different animals and different geological features. Geysers and boiling pools of water and while we're doing that, there's an airplane that follows us around, and the airplane we transmit our pictures to the airplane transmits our pictures to ground stations, and then the ground stations send them over to the satellite truck.
It's an amazing process. How do they, and because it's live TV, you never really know, which is why, you know, as Nobody's making any promises on this show. It's not like, hey, if you watch tonight, you're going to see, you're going to see this happen. How do the directors know where to send you, or is it like, okay, we're hoping to see, like for example, tonight we're hoping to see the elk. How do they know to send you to the elk at this particular time?
Well, first of all, it's National Geographic,
sure,
and they're among the best in the world at what they do. And so they've had journalists and scientists working on this project for a long time to figure out, you know, what they want to show in the park, what's the best way to show it. And they put a lot of work over a long period of time to develop their stories and position crews in different parts of the park and then figure out how to get a live picture from a wilderness area.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like in Chicago, you could just, you know, step out of your van or your car and hook up a you know, plug in something to an outlet and, you know, transmit to another place. But in Yellowstone, it's there's nothing there. It's just
right.
Wilderness. So they've had to figure this out, how to engineer to get our pictures are traveling 60 miles.
That's
from the helicopter to get back to the satellite truck where the director is.
It is amazing. The visuals are just stunning, whether you're flying over, as you mentioned, herds of wildlife, or whether you're going into these canyons or over the geysers, or as the British host of the show calls them, geysers. Oh, this is one of the most national geysers. My wife and I were howling when he called them geysers. But it, it's fun.
We laughed at that too.
The geysers. So
it's funny.
When you're doing this, and maybe it hasn't happened so far in Yellowstone, hopefully, but I would imagine over a 23-year career, this job can have some danger to it. You know, whether it's weather or whether it's something happening to the aircraft. What's the most dangerous situation you've been in?
Well, I do talk a lot in my book about some of the bad things that have happened over the years. I've lost a number of colleagues who were killed while doing what I do for a living. And it's definitely an adventure.
Okay.
And in writing Help From Above, I really, you know, had never thought about some of the reasons of why I do what I do. And in the process of telling the stories of the past 23 years, flying around the world at different places, some of which are very dangerous, I really started to understand a little bit of, why do I do this? Because this is a very dangerous job. And there's no guarantees. It's an adventure.
Do you consider yourself a daredevil or somebody who loves taking risks?
Well, I didn't set out to be that. I kind of stumbled into this line of work, and it's not like I dreamed of being a helicopter cameraman. I just wanted to work in the movie business.
Okay.
And so I knocked on a lot of doors as kind of a know-nothing kid. I just wanted to get started working in the entertainment field, and a door, and they said, okay, kid, come on in, you can do what we do.
And now you're 23 years later. You look back and go, wow, that's been quite a journey.
It's been a hell of a ride. It is dangerous, and I have lost friends, you know, who died while flying for TV shows or movies. I think as I started to write the stories in the book, I think I just kind of started to realize that the reality for me is it's not that I wake up every day and I go, oh, I got to go do something crazy and dangerous and get some adrenaline rush. But because my work is an adventure and because I don't know if I'm going to come home every day, I think it causes me to just naturally live more fully. And I think that the reality is we're all going to die.
Sure.
And I think it's something that we all think about every day. And I think, you know, for me, the challenge is not so much to think about when I'm going to die. It's more to think about how am I going to live today? If this is my last day, how do I live fully?
That's a good way for all of us to think. David Allen Arnold is my guest. David, can you stick around during the news? Because I have to ask you about covering Super Bowls and some other things, and how you became a crime fighter, which is, to me, you know, just another chapter of your life. Can you stick around for a little bit?
I would love to. Thank you.
DavidAllenArnold.com is the website. The book is called Help From Above, How I Went From Sweeping the Floor to Painting the Sky. We'll talk more with David on the other side of the news, which comes your way after this on WGN. Good morning, Brian Noonan in for Nick DiGilio. Nick will be back next week. He is on vacation. We are talking with a fascinating man. David Allen Arnold is an Emmy Award-winning cameraman, a helicopter cameraman, flies around. He works on everything. This week, he is working in Yellowstone National Park as part of National Geographic's Yellowstone Live. Final episode airs tomorrow, but you can go back to, if you go to nationalgeographic.com, you can watch the past episodes, and it is visually just stunning to see. David, thanks for sticking around, because as I mentioned, talking about Yellowstone Live is very exciting, and that's what's happening now. But talking about your book, Help from Above, How I Went from Sweeping the Floor to Painting the Sky, as I was reading about you, you know, first I'm reading about all the different things you've worked on, and I want to add, is there a difference between, because you've worked on the Super Bowl, you've worked on the World Series, is there a different challenge covering a sporting event than, say, when you've worked on The Amazing Race or Deadliest Catch?
Yeah, it's every show is a unique challenge. And by the way, not only have I done World Series, I did the World Series in 2016 in Chicago.
Oh, okay. So you've flown past us.
Woo, that was something else. I've done 1,000 sporting events in my career. I've never looked down on a baseball stadium 2 hours after the game, and the entire stadium is still packed with people who are so excited after Game 5 that they had won and the Cubs were still in it.
It sounds strange, but can you, from as high up as you are, as you're looking down, you know, you're used to framing things and getting emotion through a picture. Can you sometimes feel the energy, like when you were looking down on Wrigley Field, you're seeing it, but does how you're seeing it and the emotion that's coming through change how you're shooting it?
Oh, it was, I'll never be the same, honestly. To witness something like that was so spectacular. It was such an uplifting story to see, you know, the team rally to stay in the World Series and keep hope alive for the entire city.
Yeah.
They had an army of police lined up around the stadium to keep order after the game. And so you look at this massive line of men and women in police uniforms who are all, you know, ready to calm the crowd or whatever they have to do to keep things, you know, maintain law and order after the game. And I mean, just the spirit of the entire city just focused on that one event.
Yeah.
And the fact that they hung in there and they did what they had to do to win. And basically, the entire stadium remained packed for hours after the game. I've never seen that before. And when the people did finally come out, they were basically high-fiving the cops on their way out of the stadium. I mean, everybody was just so ecstatic and so excited. And, I mean, just it was just such a powerful moment of, you know, human triumph of, hey, we were down and it probably wasn't going to work for us, but we made it happen and we're all together in this. And I mean, it was just such an incredible bond of all of those people, you know, and the W is flying around the city. I'm at 1,000 feet, so I can see the whole city.
Yeah.
And the W is everywhere. Like everyone in the city is thinking about the same thing. It was just such a shared experience. That, you know, I really don't think you can witness something like that and be the same person after.
That's very cool. And you're right. If you're a cameraman working down in the ballpark or on the street, you're getting a much smaller, narrow perspective. But as you said, at 1,000 feet, you've got the whole city, the whole picture laid out in front of you. It's got to be just magnificent.
Well, Chicago is one of my favorite cities to fly in. And it's a beautiful city from the air, absolutely one of a kind. And to see the whole city come together for a thing like the World Series and the Cubs was it was just awe-inspiring. And as long as I live, I'll never forget that game.
That's very cool. It's cool that it happened right in our backyard. All right, I have to ask, because as I'm reading about you and reading about the book, Help from Above, How I Went from Sweeping the Floor to Painting the Sky, somehow, and you'll explain to us how, you got involved helping a town get rid of organized crime. Tell this story, because it's amazing.
Yes, I did. Book number two comes out. I'm aiming for September release on Amazon.
Okay.
And I tell the story of why I'm writing books, because in 23 years of filming for TV shows and movies, I never told anyone what I do at work. I never told the story of the World Series in Chicago. I never told the story of flying over New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina.
Oh, that had to be awful.
It was awful. But I never said a word to anyone. I mean, I've had so many adventures around the world, spectacular, triumphs and working on big Hollywood movies, but also really scary episodes where I may not have used the best judgment and I almost didn't come home. I never talked about it. And so I just, lived my quiet life. When I came home from those adventures, I didn't say a word to anyone about where I had been or what I had been doing. And in 2013, something happened in my little town in California. And it was extremely dangerous. It was unbelievably illegal. And it went on for 4 years.
Oh, my God.
And it was at our school bus stop in our little town. And I was outraged, and I let it be known. And I would stand across the street from these guys when the kids were there. And you just have to picture a scene of like a biker gang.
Yeah.
At a bar. That's what it looked like.
Okay.
And these guys were there every day. They're running an illegal business. The whole thing was a scam. And I just couldn't accept it. I understand that corruption is the way of the world. I'm not going to end that. But I just had a very strong feeling of, you don't do that here. You guys can have your crime and your corruption wherever you need to do that. But you don't do it where children gather six times a day to wait for a school bus. And so I never backed down, and I never quit fighting with them. And in 2014, we found a body behind their building that had been hidden there for 8 months.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that allowed us to get the hooks in to get them finally kicked out of the town. But the story is coming, because I don't want this to ever happen again to any town anywhere. And I think it's really important for people to learn day by day how it went and how it felt to deal with this. And if they ever have a problem like that in their town, have some idea of what it's going to take to get rid of it.
What was what's been scarier, dealing with those guys or some of the adventures you've had in the air?
Definitely. They're both scary in different ways.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And I had plenty of near-death experiences in the air. So I wouldn't say I'm comfortable with it, but it's definitely a part of my job. And, and I'm very honest in book one, Help From Above, about my shortcomings and about how I struggle sometimes with simple tasks that are very easy for most people. And I think that it's a very important part of my story is to not only tell the story of my adventures and the risks I've taken, but also to be honest about the mistakes I've made. And because I think if anything is going to give people hope or comfort in the idea that they could do a difficult thing, or they could get a job of their dreams, or they could stand up to bad guys who are backed by the police, I think if anything would encourage them, it's by learning about my flaws and the times where I made mistake after mistake, but just kept going and got to where I wanted to be.
It's an inspiring story. And before I let you go, David, I just want to ask you, because you have a documentary coming out, too, about the skies above when you were working on The Deadliest Catch. You watch The Deadliest Catch at, sitting in your living room, and you think, boy, how do these guys deal with it on these boats because the storms are so intense? How rough was it in the sky trying to film during these weather episodes?
It was unbelievably scary. We've had, in 14 years of Deadliest Catch, we have had such adventures. And some of those stories are in Help From Above, my first book.
Right.
And they, you know, there's a story in the end of the book, which happened about 2 years ago. A journalist called me and he said, Dave, I want to come up and fly with you on Deadliest Catch. And I want to, you know, take pictures and tell the story of what you do up there. And I said, okay, no problem. We're going to have to take you to a Coast Guard facility and trap you inside a helicopter fuselage, flip it upside down and submerge it in a pool.
Oh,
so you can practice getting out of it. And he said, I got to do what? And
wow.
I explained to him the,
no
the well, I explained to him that, yeah, I explained to him how dangerous it is up there and the type of training that we have to go through just to, you know, be reasonably safe to go and do it.
Oh.
And I could just hear the enthusiasm draining out of his voice, kind of like you're doing right now.
Yeah, no, that's...
And he's hearing all this, and he said, you know what, I don't think I want to go. And so now we're just sitting on the phone. There's kind of an awkward silence.
Right.
And he says, why do you do it? And I thought about that, and I kind of realized as we're having this conversation, that's actually a really good question.
Yeah. What did you tell him? Why do you do it?
I told him, I said, I think humans are made for adventure. We, you know, myself included, we all spend so much time and energy removing every form of risk. How do we buy just the right house without taking a risk? How do we get just the job that we want to have without any risk? Or, you know, how do we make ourselves, you know, we live in a gated community. How do we make ourselves completely safe at all times? And we spend so much time and energy doing that it's very easy to forget that human beings are built for adventure. We're not made to play it safe all the time. You know, it feels good to be safe. I like it, just like
sure,
anyone.
Yeah.
But the reality is there's a part of our spirit that yearns for adventure and for a risk and danger and for going on a meaningful quest.
Well,
And so I think that's an important part of life, and I do think that through my work, I've found a path that gets me in touch with that. So I always tell people, I said, don't worry about me. You know, if I'm killed tomorrow, I guarantee you this, I am living fully.
It's amazing. And if you want to see some of David's work, you can tune in to National Geographic Channel for Yellowstone Live. The final episode is tomorrow night. DavidAllenArnold.com is David's website. You can pick up his book, Help from Above. When's the documentary coming out?
Documentary is to be determined.
Okay.
The gangsters threatened lawsuits.
Ah,
and
well, sure.
So
why would they?
The Hollywood producers had to kind of put things on hold
all
because
right.
they couldn't risk being sued. However, I have taken the burden myself to put the story on record.
Very
which
nice.
Will be the second book comes out in September, and I will tell the whole story, start to finish, what happened at that school bus stop, and that will free up the producers because once I put the story on record, there's really no one you can sue
right.
to keep it quiet.
Very nice. Well, I hope we can talk to you then when the second book comes out. David, it has been a treat. Thank you so much for your time this morning. And again, everybody go check out Yellowstone Live on the National Geographic Channel and David's website, DavidAllenArnold.com. It was a pleasure. I look forward to talking to you again, David.
Brian, thank you so much. And by the way, I enjoy your tweets. You're a very funny guy.
Oh, thanks very much. I appreciate that. We'll talk to you again soon. That's David Allen Arnold. DavidAllenArnold.com is where you can get all his information. And just the list of movies and TVs and commercials and everything he's worked on is amazing. But do yourself a favor. If you like nature at all, if you've never been to Yellowstone, or even if you have been to Yellowstone, check out this show because it's just... It's interesting, but it's visually just gorgeous. They have cameras all over the park, and it is just a treat to watch. All right, let's do this, and then we'll do more. It's WGN.